Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
If you can remain standing, I want you to turn in the word to 1 Samuel 30 tonight. 1 Samuel 30, and of course it is such an honor, such a privilege just to be in this house. I feel like family. You know, last year I wasn't here because I had gone to Israel, and so I couldn't be gone to Israel and come up here, but I missed you guys so much. And my kids, I just want to say, Haven, I love you. My kids, my other two are up at the kids' church. I wouldn't be here. You know, I am here because of them and my husband. Can you give it up for my husband who pushes me, challenges me constantly? All right. We're going to read tonight 1 Samuel 30, starting with verse 1. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now, the Amalekites had raided the Negev at Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and their sons and their daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Anybody ever been there? David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Amen. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. David and the 600 men with him came to Besor Valley, where some stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley, but David and the other 400 continued their pursuit. Tonight, my message is called From Burnout to Breakthrough, Renewing Your Passion in His Presence. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for your anointing. Come on, people, if you can pray in the Holy Ghost, just begin to pray right now. God is positioning your heart. God is opening you for breakthrough tonight. So God, I just thank you, Lord God, that you're preparing our hearts to receive your word. Lord, is it a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our path? God, I thank you that there is going to be breakthrough in this house. Lord God, where the enemy meant for evil, that you are going to turn for good. Lord God, that you are raising up a standard against the enemy, but you are raising up a mighty church, a mighty voice, a mighty people in this valley, Lord God, and they're going to, Lord, pursue and overtake every enemy. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You know, this past year was quite interesting. You know, Pastor Josh and I, of course, we pastor on Oahu. We love what God is doing. There's so many miracles. There's so many amazing things happening. This year, God has really expanded us in so many ways that Pastor Josh now is flying over to Maui twice a week and helping the staff there. And so he's pastoring both locations. And of course, you know, being a co-pastor and coming alongside my husband, I said, okay, I'm gonna rise to the occasion. I'm going to step up. I'm going to step in. I'm going to try to lead the team, do what I need to do, fill in the gaps, you know, like every wife does, right? You just kind of try to help where you can do it. Raising three kids, trying to pursue my purpose, the things that God has put on my heart, the passions that God has put on my heart. You know, I've been prophesied for years, you know, you're going to write, you're going to do these things. And I had every excuse in the book why I was not doing it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Every prophetic year, you keep hearing the same thing. And you go, I don't really want to hear that anymore because God's saying you're not doing it, right? So I actually started writing. I set Wednesdays, and I started pursuing that and just putting myself in that position. And then I got hit. I got hit so hard by the enemy. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every form and fashion, I feel like I got hit by a truck. Hormonally, I felt like I was off. I was like, what's going on with me? Physically, I was in pain, my neck and my back. Everything was hard. I love people, but I didn't want to be around anybody. have been in full-time ministry for 18 years and always been passionate, always had a vision, was always trying to pursue God, and yet I felt passionless. I had no vision. I didn't know what was wrong. See, I believe the enemy was trying to steal my purpose, my passion, and my peace. And tonight, I'm going to speak to you right where you're at in your heart and your place of weakness, because in the end of 2019, I bet a lot of you struggled in your purpose and in your passion and in your peace. But as we move into 2020, I believe that God is going to begin to renew. God is going to begin to set ablaze and get you focused for what God has for you. See, nothing worked. I tried everything. You know, you get in the Word. And the Word works, but I got in the Word, I served, I prayed, but I felt like I just couldn't get breakthrough. Anybody ever been there? You know, you do what everything you know to do, and listen, I'm a pastor. I got to show up. I got to sit on the front row. I got to pray for people when I'm like, please pray for me. You know, it's like you're here praying for people, and you're like, can I switch spots with you and be here? You know, but I couldn't give up. I couldn't stop. I've got kids. I've got things I've got to keep doing. You know, I think of David. Here, David is out pursuing the enemy, fighting, doing ministry, doing what he's called to do, and yet his family was not guarded. And as he's out here, his family, his people gets wrecked, burned, taken, and they come back, and it's gone. And he was hit. He was blindsided. And see, that's how the enemy works. He doesn't play fair. When you're out serving Jesus, when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, when you're winning souls, he'll come and sideswipe you. But what did David do? Even though it said he had no strength and everyone is against him, what did he do? It says that he strengthened himself. Come on, say it out loud. Strengthened himself. You got to strengthen yourself when you feel like giving up, when you feel like all hope is lost. You've got to learn how to strengthen yourself. I have the most anointed, powerful husband, and he was like, what's wrong with you? What's going on? He's like, well, no. He was like, where's my wife? Like, what did you do with her, and where's my wife? I mean, it was my kids. You know, I was crying all the time. Any women out there, any hormonal women, sometimes you're just like, I don't know why I'm crying, but I'm just crying. The struggle, hashtag, the struggle's real. Come on. You can put your smiley face on when you come to church, but the 2 minutes before, you were crying in the car. Come on, it's real. It's life. Just because you're passionate and loving Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to go through some valleys and some hills and some things that are going to try to come and zap your strength and zap your purpose. But it said that David inquired of the Lord. And I go, oh my gosh, I love that. You know, that word inquire means to ask, to seek. You know, if my family was taken, if my kids were taken from me, I would be like a crazy mama. I would be like one of those mama bears that just went out to kill and find them at all costs. You know what I'm saying? You're not thinking rational. You're like totally irrational. You're going to go get them and you're going to kill them. You know, like, don't touch my family. Think about those guys. They were hurting, and yet David had the unction to stop, to strengthen himself, and then inquire of the Lord, do I pursue them? Hello, David, of course you pursue them, right? Of course you think that's the answer, but no, he knew something, that without God's presence, just like Moses said, I don't want to go in the promised land, not without your presence. I will not go without your presence. Listen, you can't do what God's called you to do without his presence. So my wonderful husband, so amazing. He goes, honey, you just need to get in God's presence. And I said, I know. You know, when you're going through those moments, you don't feel like pushing. You feel like just laying there, putting on Netflix, just watching those shows, binge watching your favorite show. And the enemy just wants to get you comatose. He wants to get you totally brainless. He wants to get you not even fighting at all. And my husband says, get into his presence. So I did all that I knew to do is that every time we gathered and any time I was alone, I said, God, help me. I don't understand what's going on. I feel like I'm burning out, but I don't want to burn out. I've served you for 18 years. I've given everything. I've laid it all at your feet. What is happening? And he speaks to me. And he gives me Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. And it says, he gives strength to the weary. And to him who has no might, he increases power. Even youths grow weary and tired. And vigorous young men stumble badly. But those, come on everybody, but those that wait upon the Lord, it means who expect, look for, and hope in him will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles rising toward the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will not walk and not grow tired. And in that moment, God began to give me a vision. And I need my husband's help. Thank you, baby. Come on up, honey. So he gave me this word. You can go over there. And I felt like the Lord said, see, I'm very passionate. I'm very driven. I love the Lord. I want to make an impact. I want to live. I have one life to live, and I want to live it to the full. But sometimes it's my problem. Because I just want to do it all. I just want to dive right in. And sometimes I don't calculate the risks. I don't calculate some of the things that are going on. And I felt, you know, I'm a fast walker. Any fast walkers in here? I'm a fast walker. When I was in Israel with about 50 people, I am like in the front of the line. You know, I'm like, I come from a long line of walkers. My parents love to walk. And I can't, forgive me if you're a slow walker, but like I can't, it drives me nuts if I'm like behind somebody. I kind of like go like this. You know, trying to get through. I'm like, I'm fast. Don't slow me down. Like I want to be at the front. And this is what the Lord was showing me. My husband's going to be the Lord because he's so anointed and so handsome. And I love him so much. And this is what I was doing. Come here, baby. You're supposed to be walking with the Lord. And I'm like, I got it, God. I got it. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this. And the Lord goes, hey. Wait. You're so good. You're perfect. Are you going to wait on me? And I go, oh. And I saw myself in the midst of the doing ministry. Hello. The good stuff, you know? It's I could be like, look at what I'm doing. Look at all the life groups I'm running. Look at all the ministries and all the preaching and all this and everything I'm doing. And yet I'm over here and I'm worn out and I'm tired and I'm hurting. And the Lord's just waiting back there going, are you going to wait on me? So then the Lord graciously walks. And I wait, which I don't like to wait. Anybody doesn't like to wait on like somebody else? And he comes. Oh, see, already he's irritating me. I'm like, I'm preaching here. I only got a certain amount of minutes, baby, here. And what does he do? He picks me up. And he keeps carrying me. Come on. You know what? This is how we're supposed to be. When you're with Jesus, in relationship with Jesus, you're not supposed to be running ahead, and you're definitely not supposed to be falling behind. You're not supposed to be getting distracted at that squirrel, but you're supposed to be holding hands in step. This was my prayer last year. Lord, keep me in step with you. But we can so easily get caught up by everything else around us that we lose step with God. And then we ask, thank you, honey, you're so amazing. Give it up. And then we ask ourselves, why am I so tired? Why do I not? I don't feel like I have purpose or passion or peace. Where is my peace? I feel anxious. Well, we've got to wait upon the Lord. See, I'm going to give you 3 points tonight. See, when we stop and seek his presence, I believe 3 things will happen. The first one is your purpose will be refocused. See, your purpose is your why. It's why you were created. It's who you are. Your purpose will give you direction in life. Now, let me just say this. Everybody else around you wants to have a purpose for you. They'll tell you what you should do, what you should not do, who you are and who you're not supposed to be. I've had that all my life. I had somebody tell me before I married Josh, you're not supposed to marry Josh. You're not called to the ministry. You're not a people person. I don't think you're ready for this. And I said, oh, yeah? No, I wasn't like that. I was super sweet, and I was just like smiled, and then later I was like, you know, just joking. No, you know what I told her? I said, you know what? Thank you for your opinion, but I don't believe it's true, and I don't believe that you know me, because if God has called me, he will anoint me and he will equip me. And I said, yes, I don't have it all together, and thank God, because then I would be about me and not about God. See, the enemy wants to keep you from moving forward in your purpose. He wants to distract you. That's why I said purpose refocus. He wants to get your eye on every little shiny thing out there and everything but the very purpose you were created to do. You'll get caught up in this family issue. You'll get caught up in this thing. And you'll do, and you'll never be who God's called you to be. It's like divine purpose is like sticking on those 3D glasses, and everything seems to be blurry, but when you put those glasses on, it's like you see everything coming at you. And when the enemy's throwing this, you're like this. And when he's coming at you this way, you learn how to duck. But when you don't got your purpose, when it's all fuzzy, when it's not clear, you're going to be getting hit left and right. And you know, I just did a professional women's event. It's my outreach event to all of Oahu. I invite business owners and governmental leaders and women in education. And I do this as an outreach to reach the unchurched. I had actually one of the women on my panel. She's not even saved, but she's running for the governor of Hawaii. I've reached out to her to connect with her. And on this panel, I asked her, I said, how do you deal with all the opposition? How do you deal with all the people coming at you with all their comments? What do you do? She goes, listen, don't listen to the cheap seats. She said, don't listen to the cheap seats. And we were like, oh, we were like, hashtag cheap seats. Like, oh my gosh, it was awesome. Like, it was like the big thing. You know what that means? Anybody ever got the cheap seats? In the nosebleed section, you pay hardly nothing, but you're all the way up there. Have you ever noticed that the cheap seat people are the one who yell the loudest and who are the craziest and just will yell profanities? I remember we were on a mission trip to New York with Pastor Steve, and we were in the cheap seat section because we were on a mission trip, and they're swearing, and they were doing the wave across the stadium, and we were the end part of the wave, and I was like so excited because I was like a cheerleader and I wanted to do the wave, and it came to us to do the wave. And all the people in our cheap seats besides us were drinking, smoking, and they stood up and they did the finger to the whole stadium, okay? But let me just tell you something. Yeah, that happened. We were like, oh my gosh. We listen to the cheap seat people in our life. The people that have paid nothing to be in our life. You're listening to the person on Instagram that commented on your picture that you didn't look good or you didn't have your eyebrows done or your eyelashes are falling off or whatever it may be. Come on, all you eyelash girls, you know what I'm talking about. That's another thing. But you know what? You know who you need to listen to is the ones that are your circle, your three, like Peter, James, and John. Jesus circled around him, the three. Who are your three? You listen to the people who've invested, your pastors, your ministers, your leaders. Come on, I gotta move on. But I'm gonna tell you, when you're talking about your purpose, refocusing your purpose, you need to ask yourself, what are my priorities? See, you're not gonna walk in your purpose if you don't know what your priorities are. You need to stop, you need to evaluate. That's what happened to me. I realized I was doing so much that everybody wanted me to do. I felt, he didn't put it on me, I felt like I had to carry the weight while he was gone. Can I tell you something? I was never meant to carry that weight. I was dying under that weight because guess what? That's not my purpose. I was trying to step into his purpose, not my purpose, and I was dying under the pressure. God says, you need to clear your schedule. You need to stop doing that. You need to do this. So when you begin to know your priorities, your family, your children, your God, things begin to align, and guess what? Ooh, peace comes. The weight is lifted off. Amen? But next, if we're going to go from burnout to breakthrough, not only do we need to refocus our purpose, but our passion needs to be renewed. Your passion needs to be renewed. You shouldn't just be passionate when you got saved 20 years ago. God wants to renew your passion. Now, let me say this. Passion can be good or bad. Passion for the wrong thing can steer you down and off a cliff. Come on, passion without wisdom is folly. But you know, many of us have felt passionless in this last year. Maybe you've been doing, but you haven't had the fuel. You know, and the enemy of passion is apathy. It's like being in a car and going nowhere. But passion is that acceleration that gets you into position to go where you need to go. Let me tell you something in this church. God wants to renew your passion. He wants to stir up a fresh fire on the inside of you for God, for ministry, for life. He doesn't want you just going along. He wants you to grow through life. He wants you to have joy. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you need some joy. Woo! But you know what? You know what produces passion is getting into the Word. Some of the basic things that we forget that will restore passion in your life, that will renew it in your life, is getting into the Word. Do you know what I had to do? I had to get in that Word. That Isaiah 40 became my lifeline. It became the very thing I held on to when I didn't feel it. And I said, oh God, you are going to give me strength. Oh God, I'm going to mount up. I'm not going to fall down. God, you're going to help me through this. That's why you're here. Some of you are going to get so filled with passion. Your passion is going to be renewed. Come on. Because you're here. You're getting the Word in you. Something's sparking. It's like a match. Come on. Just, Pastor John, you're like a match. You're always like a spark. Come on. I mean, you know, that's what his job is. He sparks you, and then you begin to light up for Jesus, and you go out in the highways and the byways. Listen, one of my life's messages is get outside the four walls of the church. Get into the community. Get into education. We need a world of Christians that are passionate, not just about their own stuff, but when you get out there and they go, why? What is so different about you? Why? What is that on you? What is that light? What is that? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. You know what I love? When you look up the definition of passion, one of the definitions is the suffering and crucifixion of Christ. Check it out. He went there because he was passionate about you. So let's get passionate about the things of God. Let's get passionate about what God's doing in this house. Let's just not come in and out. Amen? You know, and I love it because in your passion, like Pastor Josh talked about this morning, not only an intimacy in relationship with his Word, but an intimacy in prayer. I love this story. There was 5 young men in London. And they wanted to go to a Charles Spurgeon meeting. He's a famous preacher. Many souls were saved. So they were there early and they came in. And they were kind of looking around. And this older gentleman kind of let them in and just said hello and says, hey, would you like me to show you around the church? It's before the meeting. And they're like, sure. He goes, you want me to show you the boiler room? It's what heats the place. And they're like, it's July and it's hot. But they were like, okay, they didn't want to be rude. So he takes them down some stairs. And to their astonishment, there are 700 people praying in the power of the Holy Ghost before the meeting. And he goes, this is what heats the place. It is prayer. It is people coming together to seek the living God. That is what heats the place. Come on, like Pastor Josh preached, you want to heat the place? You want to set this place ablaze? Get a passion for prayer. I had to get back into that intimate place because my time was being stolen all over the place. And you young moms, listen, It's not easy, but find that time. I've had to get up at 5 a.m. I'm not a morning person, but I've chosen to get up because I have to have that time with the Lord. But lastly, not only do we need to see purpose, being refocused and passion being renewed, but lastly, your peace restored. Some of you, the enemy has tried to rob your peace. There's moments of anxiety, there's moments of distress, there's moments of feeling weary and heavy laden and burdened down. And let me remind you, one of my favorite scriptures, and you know, my daughter, this has become one of her favorite scriptures. You know, some of us struggle maybe with mental illness. Some of you struggle with depression. Let me tell you, this will be your lifeline right here. Philippians 4. The Lord is near. See, we don't read that part. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Come on, say it with me. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And it says, and the peace. Come on, just put that peace on you right now. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding. What that means, it will go beyond all understanding. What seems to be your situation and everything that seems to be in havoc and disarray, it says the peace of God transcends all understanding to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know, when the disciples were in the boat and Jesus said, let's go to the other side. See, I believe in this place, many of you, the Lord has said, let's go to the other side. God has a plan. He has a purpose. And you've said yes, and you got in the boat, but then you got hit with the storm. Maybe 2019 was marked with some storms. And the waves were crashing and the wind was howling. And there's Jesus sleeping. Snoring, peaceful, getting his rest, and you're freaking out, and you're worrying, and you're biting your nails, and you're getting irritated at the other disciple, and you start nitpicking at each other. Come on, like we do when we get stressed out, we get anxious, we start looking and picking and doing everything else. Jesus gets up and says, peace, be still. Listen, can I tell you the same authority that Jesus has? He says we have. And so whatever storm you are going through, whatever waves are trying to come over you, whatever wind is trying to swirl you up, you can stand up and say, peace, be still. Do you know that maybe on the surface the waves are crashing? But if you just go down a few meters, it is as still can be. That means right in here, the whole world can be going up in flames. The coronavirus, come on, it can be all around you, but there's a peace that passes all understanding. What did Jesus say in John 14? He says, peace, this is what Jesus said, I leave you my peace. Everyone say that, my peace, I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Men and women of God, you have nothing to be afraid of. Whatever fear is knocking at your door, come on, Pastor Bruno, like you said, I am the mayor. I have authority in this place. Whatever is about your kids, listen, I've been going through some crazy stuff with my son. And I stand in the gap and I say, no, peace, be still. He will walk in his destiny. He will walk in his call. That no matter what's coming up against him, I'm going to keep my peace. Tonight, peace is going to be restored. Tonight, strength is going to come upon you. Where you felt weak, where you felt weary, you are going to arise tonight as men and women of God. No matter what the enemy said, it doesn't matter. We've already got the victory. We are already the winners. We are already on the winner's side. So trust him. And just like David, He pursued the enemy. And he not only got back his wives, his children, everything they had lost, but and then some. Come on, say, and then some. See, God is going to produce the provision, and then some. Some of you financially have been robbed. You're going to get it back, and then some. Tonight is the night to turn from burnout to breakthrough.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.